What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Pizza a la Bismarck is the name style. I knew that was it. It's with ham, prosciutto, or prosciutto, however you say it, and arugula. Arugula. And then this guy that I just showed the video to Bob put like an egg in every quadrant. So it's not like a fight for the egg.
It's obviously something I'd try. Yeah, I think so. Arugula on salad is, or on salad, arugula on pizza is good. It's got that peppery bite to it. In Italy, they call arugula rockets. So, and it's on everything in Italy. And so it's like something with rockets. You're like, rockets? What the hell is that? It's arugula. That's
nowadays
what they call
call beautiful women rockets.
Yeah. Rockets.
Who's got the rocket at table 43? Said a guy I used to work with. I'm like, what? He goes, dude, rocket 43, seat 2. I was like, oh, you're saying that. Good look. Oh, got it. Okay. Somebody did say that the Reese's Fast Break is the most underrated candy bar in the game.
Very good.
I 100% agree.
Very good.
It is 100% like the most underrated candy bar there is. Nate Taylor joins us here in a little bit, live from Indianapolis, as we talk to him about the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because a lot of people, I think, are starting to believe that Jordan loves the guy. And I'm kind of interested because I know it's tough to ask Nate what he's hearing when he's down in Indianapolis, because what you're hearing is about 10% truth, 90% lie.
Oh, it's all a misdirection, okay. Right? And so that, but that's why you have to just compile everything that you hear and say, okay, let me see if we can find like one thing out of here, you know, that is going to be a truth. But I think, you know, a lot of this is just kind of laying the groundwork. Like I heard the Giants yesterday may take Jeremiah Love at number 5. And so you start to wonder, you know, what's going to be the situation involving, you know, these players and who's going to take who and how that's all going to, you know, work its way out. If the Giants take Jeremiah Love at 5, then clearly he's not going to be there at number 9 for the Chiefs. Now I understand Max Crosby. I saw the trade offer for him that came out yesterday. Now they're saying 2 draft picks and a player, basically the same package that the Dallas Cowboys got for Michael Parsons is what they want for Max Crosby out in Vegas. Maybe they decide to trade the number 1 pick. So yeah, you're right. There's just so much, you know, misinformation, so much misdirection right now that's going on out there at the Combine. It makes it great. The rumors are the best part about this whole thing, but you feel bad for like Nate Taylor. He got to track all those rumors down and find out which ones are true and which ones aren't.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, ESPN's own Nate Taylor joining us now here in Kansas City, but he is in Indianapolis. Nate, I got to ask, because Bob has determined that's 100%. What's the percentage of lies being told and everything that you hear down in Indianapolis? Is it 90%, 100%, 85%? I need to know.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Let's say 75%. That seems about honestly what it is, you know, when you are trying to compile information.
I'm going to put Nate on hold.
Yeah, please do. I don't know what that was, right?
Some sort of beep. He's just on hold, so if you want to let him know that. I don't know if there's like a fact. There might be a fax going off right now, and like we're getting some information going straight to Nate Taylor.
I know. It sounded like he was getting a fax, or somebody was texting him, or his phone was blowing up. I'm not sure. I don't think so. The only time they fax, I still think, is when you sign in your letter of intent to go play for college, because that's the way it was always. You know, they would always put the picture of the fax machine up there, and that was the only time that seemingly people used the fax machine, but I don't even know that they use it for that anymore. I think the fax machine is probably a dodo bird type thing. Like, I don't think anybody uses it, but again, could be wrong. I'm sure there's somebody out there right now. Like, I fax every day.
Yeah. I wonder if there's if people still use a typewriter, cause it's just the way they do it. We'll get Nate back on. Nate, sorry about that. There was like a beeping going on, but you were talking about 75% of what you hear is truth.
Yeah.
I guess good morning to you. And also, how has Indianapolis been so far since you've been there?
No, it's been fantastic, and I don't know. Sorry, whatever happens technically on my end, but no, like it's been great, man. It's been everything I could have expected and anticipated, and yeah, I think you know this is you know line season and setting things up for later on in the off season, and so like I was saying, yeah, like you know, it could be anywhere between like 60 to 75% of right. what you hear is like a fraction of truth, or it's not the total picture. That you're going to perhaps see next month, especially when free agency starts. But, yeah, I mean, like, shrimp cocktail every day. It's been great, man.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Run up that expense account, my man. You deserve it. And, you know, going into this offseason, obviously different than what, you know, the Chiefs are used to, and coming off a Super Bowl appearance, a Super Bowl victory, you know, just being there. You know, we're not used to going 6-11 and picking in the top 10. How's the approach different this offseason for the Chiefs than you've seen in past off seasons?
Well, they understand that. Again, they got to still do plenty of moves to get, you know, more cap space. So we'll see that. I'm going to assume, you know, I'm imagining over the next 2 weeks how they go about things. But I think overall, like, this has to be both a new challenge and it has to reinvigorate you. And I think that's something that we heard from Brett Veach that is going to be interesting to watch from, you know, a fan's perspective or even for myself. Like, hey, this is not picking at 32. This is not like, hey, we came to this late and we're one of the last teams, you know, to really get a – to get an idea of how this draft class is going to go. No, you missed the entire playoffs, and now you got to refocus. You know, the coaching staff is in place, so they have to, you know, have their input on everything. And again, from a free agency standpoint, like, not everyone is going to make it to free agency. So you really have to understand, okay, what are our best options? How are we going to allocate our resources? How much money are we going to clear from a, you know, transaction standpoint in terms of cap space and who might not be on the team in a few weeks? But no, man, this has to be one of the most important, you know, off seasons for Brett Veach and the personnel staff in the Patrick Mahomes era. And at the same time, like, you know, if this doesn't excite you in a way that, you know, is different from like, hey, we just went to the Super Bowl and, you know, it was a long drawn out season, then what we're going to find is just how much can this, I think, scouting department, when it comes to the draft, address the needs that the Chiefs have, and now with a higher draft pick just overall, how much can they execute their plan to have guys that can contribute, you know, earlier than what you would normally see with someone who's picked late in the third round. That's really like a fourth round pick, or like I always like to say, like, hey, it's cool, you have 31. Hey, you got Josh Simmons, 32. Those are rare moments where it's like, hey, that player, whoever it is not asked to like perform right away. But when you're picking 9, that guy has to be, and again, if the Chiefs stay at 9, that player has to be someone who can contribute from the get-go, and you can't mess this one up because you're not sure when you're going to have another top 10 selection again if Mahomes comes back healthy from the injury and you are basically restarting, hopefully, your dynastic run.
Nate, I want to ask you this because I'm convinced – after listening to Brett Veach talk that I knew nothing of what I was talking about with the Chiefs offseason plans, I have a feeling that I'm now convinced that they are just going to draft Jeremiah Love.
Man, here's the secret that I don't think is really a secret anymore. That dude is A, talented. He's incredibly intriguing. And I haven't met a soul here in Indianapolis that's like, I don't really buy into the whole Jordan Love hype or Jeremiah Love hype.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Everybody loves that dude. Like, his dynamic ability, his playmaking, you know, there's a reason. And I even wrote this today on ESPN.com. There's a reason why they say we got to get more explosive in the running game. Well, there's really only one draft prospect who could offer, you know, true elite level of explosiveness out of the backfield, and that's Jeremiah Love. What's hilarious is his teammate might be like the second running back that's selected in the draft. And that may happen in the second, you know, that may happen in the second or the third round. Man, I don't know. I don't know what to believe, right? I don't know if Reuben Bain's going to be available at 9. I don't know if Jeremiah Love's going to be available at 9, but if he is, ooh, buddy, that would be like hitting the turbo button on a franchise who knows that, like, the last time you dedicated legitimate resources to the running back position was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. could have anybody foreseen, you know, 6 years later, you would be using a top 10 pick on a running back? But it's possible, guys, because every scout, every evaluator just understands that Jeremiah Love unquestionably is one of the best prospects here. It's just the positional value at that high where, man, if you pick him, he's, again, got to deliver, not just in year one, but he's got to deliver in a way that's like Bijan Robinson. And again, I still am in love with Bijan Robinson's college tape, and no disrespect to Jeremiah Love, but like no one should be asked to be Bijan Robinson, but that's what you're going to do if you pick him at nine. And yet everyone's like, look, there's not even that many good quarterbacks. There's not that many good offensive linemen. Like, I mean, there are pass rushers, but like, will they get to nine? So you might this might be a situation where you're like, hey, do you want to do Carnell Tate? Do you want to do Jeremiah Love? I can't argue because everyone here is like, yeah, man, he's really good.
So, like, if he's good there at nine, do you think he will be there at nine? I mean, I saw the Giants may take him at five now.
Ooh, I mean, there's going to be, and I think this is where the line season really does come into play.
Yeah.
I would think that Jeremiah Love will be there at nine more likely than Reuben Bain. Cornell Tate is a monkey wrench in this because his own teammate, Caleb Downs, is arguably an amazing prospect, but he's a safety, right? Who just needs a safety in the top 10. That usually does not happen in most drafts. So this is a tricky one, guys, but I think there's a case to be made, again, based on positional value. You know, who do you prioritize? Again, I still want people to understand that, like, the Chiefs pass rush is probably still, like, priority number one. But again, if David Bailey's not available, if, you know, Reuben Bain's not there and Jeremiah Love is, okay, well, did you solve the issue at the running back position in free agency so that you don't feel like you have to take Jeremiah Love? That's where, you know, this will all sort of, you know, be a more clear picture when we get to draft week. But I think there's a good chance that Jeremiah Love may actually be there because I could argue the Giants should pick defense, you know, at number five. I should argue that, you know, the Washington Commanders, who are ahead of the Chiefs as well, need a pass rusher. If we're all using our brains correct, you know, there's a chance that Jeremiah Love is there more so than some of the other guys we've talked about up to this point.
If you had Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Love, Reuben Bain, and you're Brett Veach, who would you take?
If you're going for the safe pick, it's Caleb Downs. Mm-hmm. I cannot stress enough how good of a player he is. And that was early on in his career, you know, before he moved to, you know, he started at Alabama, then he moved to Ohio State, right? So he's a safe pick. I think for your needs, Reuben Bain is versatile enough and has demonstrated over the course of his career that, hey, he can still be an ascending player. So maybe you hit the Venn diagram perfectly of need and player who's able to, like, contribute alongside Chris Jones and George Karlaftis. And the most, like, you know, I won't say toss-up, but, like, the one that will get the people going the most, whether you agree with it, disagree with it, and if you're looking for, I don't know, topics on the radio to talk about from April to September, it would be Jeremiah Love. So I understand that Caleb Downs is not like a huge need, but man, Steve Spagnuolo has always, you know, preferred having a do-it-all safety. Caleb Downs obviously fits that mold. I still think pass rushers are their most important thing, but hey, if you don't get that, you know, Travis Etienne, if you don't get Kenneth Walker in free agency, there's going to be a reason why Jeremiah Love intrigues you because it does take pressure off the quarterback. And that was something that Brett Veach said, hey, we've got to lessen the burden on Mahomes, who's coming off the most significant injury of his career. And the easiest way to do that is, hey, man, can you just go get 5 yards? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, occasionally you'll break a couple tackles or two or do what you did in college with that, you know, amazing spin move, and all of a sudden we're off to the races. The Chiefs did not have that element to their offense, so they are setting it up in a way that, hey, you might not agree with them because you might not want a running back in the first round, But guys, he is clearly the best running back. There's not a single person here who's like, you know, Jeremiah Love might be high on everybody else's board, but actually I think dot, dot, dot. That has not happened. Jeremiah Love, I don't know if he's going to be as consensus as Saquon Barkley or, again, Bijan Robinson, but he is a player who has dazzled everyone, and I think he's going to do amazing in the interview process, and that's starting essentially today before we get to the testing later on this weekend.
Ooh, that's the fun day today, Nate. I was going to ask you what's going on. You get the interview day today. That's the good one. Well, hey, man, stay safe down there and get back in Kansas City soon, and we appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man down in Indianapolis, but we appreciate it, Nate.
Yeah, anytime, fellas. And look, I mean, I cannot wait to get back and see how much they've lied to us and, you know, how much money they actually have worth spending.
That's great, Nate. Take care, brother.
All right, guys.
That's
thank
ESPN's
you.
ESPN's own Nate Taylor, the Chiefs beat writer there. Love the way into that conversation.
And I think the executives, like the Brett Veaches of the world, I think they all embrace it, too, and they know.
Watch this next episode. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, coming up next, Bills all-time KU starting 5+. Rasheed Wallace is wrong here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.